Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Yep, yep. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl, POC. We are live right now on timefrontawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live right now on timefrontawakening.com/revive. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's Meet Your Girl, POC. We are live for that good morning talk radio. Yo, Harmony, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start off like this for the people. I got something for y'all, man. I'm about to wake y'all up, man, on this Sunday morning. Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Good morning. Good morning to you, the birds, are chirping,
Hey, no.
Good morning to you, the birds, are chirping, good morning.
Wake up, wake up, wake up with me, your girl, POC, each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I am reviving your airways this morning. Man, I want you guys to engage with me all morning. I want y'all to engage with me all morning. You can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. And you already know that emergency contact number while I'm reviving your airways. It's 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. And you already know I got the goddess in the building with me this morning, your girl Harmony the goddess. How you feeling today?
I am feeling amazing. Peace, love, and light to the planet today. Happy Sunday, happy snow day, happy, you know, life giving.
I'm with you on that, man. Yesterday was the first snow day of the year. It really honestly truly was the first snow day of the year. How was it for you?
Mine was good. I mean, I had to work, but it didn't feel like work because, I was doing something that I love to do. So I had this massage event at Lux. Shout out to Lux Nails, which is in Philadelphia, PA. They had a Anything Can Happen sponsored event by Hennessy. Whew, let me tell
anything
you.
Anything can happen, huh?
Anything can happen when a little lick again, people, is so funny. But shout out to Lux Lounge, Reserve. 1925 Lounge, shout out to everybody who came through yesterday. It was just such an amazing event and just had a great time. I did some chair massages with Carrie, so shout out to Remedy Spa and Wellness. So yeah, that was my day yesterday. I spent it all day just having a good time with people.
I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. Yesterday, you want to know what I did yesterday? I thought, you know what I'm saying, I really thought I was somebody. I wasn't. I took a day off. I ain't even going to hold you.
No,
when I looked, I know, that's why I didn't even tell Tab, right? I looked outside and I said, oh, it's snowing? That is you. You came down just for me. You know what I'm about to do? I rolled right on over, and that roll over led into like another 4 extra hours of sleep. Right. I was tired, man, and I needed that.
You've been working hard, so I mean, you deserve that, but honestly, no naps. No naps.
I ain't deserve it. I ain't been working that hard. I need to get back up, man, because I don't know who I thought I was. I woke up. It was like 7 o'clock. I looked around. I was like, you know how much work I got to do? So I'm texting you. You like, don't ever text me this late again. Like, no, this is something that should have been
unacceptable. When you had a whole day. Unacceptable. People got to get their beauty rest. You know, 8 hours of sleep. You know, this beautiful skin don't just come. You know what I'm saying?
I was going for 12. I ain't even going to hold you. I was like, I got to give me a 12-hour this morning, man. I rolled over yesterday. Shout out to the snow, man. Definitely shout out to the snow. This is my first time, like, in Philly, like, on, like, a block. Like, what they call it? Like, a ducky kind of block thingy. I don't know. It's just a small street. Yes. And it's like, when I tell you they don't even come down here to shovel it out. I mean, it looks horrible. Like, if it was, like, a snowstorm out there. I'm like, yo, like, y'all not even about to try?
It's still black ice out there. Like, people can really bust their, you know what, where the sun don't shine. But people can really bust. The one thing I don't like about when it snows out here is people don't know how to drive. Everybody drives like it is a blizzard, and you really have to. I feel as though that the DMV should have a driving course for different weather predicaments. I think that should be, you know.
Ain't nobody ask you your opinion because ain't nobody got time to be like, all right, we're going to wait till it snow to give you a license. Ain't nobody got time for that because I am one of those people. Let it rain, let it snow. Yes, that is me. I was about to get my little singing or my little harmony or whatever. But but yes, no, I am one of those people. If it's raining, if it's snowing, I am 20 miles with the hazards on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm in the fast lane with the hazards on. I ain't going to hold you.
That's fine, but stay in the far right lane.
I'm on the left.
No.
I'm on the left side, like the left side of politics. Shout out to my boy Keith Taylor, man. You already know Keith Taylor's coming through. What's buzzing today? I'm really excited to be speaking with him, man. I haven't had Keith on in a very long time. That's my fault. That ain't his fault. That's my fault. But yes, your boy Keith Taylor from the left side of politics is joining us today. He will be joining us today to just go over everything that we need to know. We definitely got to give a shout out to Keisha, and I already know Keith is about to come through with the facts because he actually stayed in Atlanta for some time. So I think he would know the actual facts when it comes to Atlanta. So I'm really excited to hear what he has to say about what he thinks Keisha is going to do. Well, Mayor Keisha is going to do for the city of Atlanta. I'm really excited to be talking with him on that. And we definitely got to jump into these Donald Trump sex allegations, man. I can't let that go. So I know Keith's going to bring something to the forefront of that. And then we got to clown Donald Trump because he was not invited to Mississippi. They said, y'all, like, no, just no, he's not. And if he does come, I'm not standing right next to him. So we got to talk about that. Definitely got to talk about that because he was down there for the opening of a museum that's going on in Mississippi. And everybody was just like, yeah, he can stay where he at because ain't nobody invited him over here. So I really want to get into that, too. So just know your boy Keith Taylor is coming on for the Left Side of Politics. And we do have a guest today, too, as well. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming on to the Revive platform today?
Yes, we have the amazing Kalik Hayes. He is the founder of Childhood's Loss, the group foundation, and an entrepreneur, a mentor, a chess chat creator, visionary, youth speaker, and advocate. So we welcome you to Revive Platform, and we look forward to having you as a guest on Revive, Kalik Hayes. Definitely.
Definitely. He's someone in the city of Philadelphia who's looking out for the youth. So I can definitely support that, man. I can definitely support that. And if you're someone who is out there listening to us right now and you are a startup business, you are an entrepreneur, you're an artist, anything of that nature, you know what I mean? And you feel as though that the people out here need to be revived by your gift, your talent, whatever it may be, definitely hit us up at Revive_POC, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or you can send us an email at revive.poc@gmail.com. And then Harmony got that contact information for the guest coordinator. Mm-hmm.
So definitely, if you would love to be a guest on Revive, please don't hesitate. But send me an email at revive.guestcoordinator@gmail.com. And that's again revive.guestcoordinator@gmail.com. So shoot me an email or you can DM us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, revive_POC, or you can DM me directly, Harmony the Goddess on Instagram and also Twitter and Facebook as well. So definitely, we would love to have you on this platform. This is what this platform is definitely created. Let's make connections.
Definitely, let's make connections. You already know what time it is. So definitely make sure you hit us up right now. We want to make sure that we help you revive the people with your gift each and every day. So make sure you guys stay tuned. We go live on Revive Wednesdays, each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And, of course, that good old Sunday morning talk radio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Yo, the question of the day, I'm going to just gear it around the snow day. You know what I mean? For the question of the day, I want to know, how did you spend the first snow day of the year? Even Atlanta got snow. So you know that's big when Atlanta gets snow. And they had this meme like Atlanta, Pennsylvania. I'm like, yo, every time it snows down Atlanta, they just go into a chaos state. Like everybody's just panicking and like just crazy turmoil because of the snow. They're just not used to it at all. Have you been in Atlanta when it was snowing?
I haven't been in Atlanta, excuse me. I haven't been in Atlanta when it was snowing. But I do know, I was talking to my sister yesterday and she was like, people were panicking, freaking out. It was a lot of accidents on a road. You know, down there, they shut down the city. Like, when they see a little bit of snow or something that they're not used to, they shut it down. Let kids out the school at 9 a.m. and they just got in at 8 a.m. So they shut the city down.
I'm with you on that one, definitely, because I'll be like, yo, I got to go home. It's snowing. I ain't never seen a white Christmas before. I got to get up out of here. Ma, that was like when we was up here and it was September 11th. You know what I'm saying? I remember. I had my little phone. I ain't even gonna hold you. My mother had us equipped. I was like, yo, Ma, come get me. Come get me. But she worked out Virginia, so I couldn't. I was in there for a while.
Oh,
I was in there for a year. It was a good little while. You know what I'm saying? I was one of those kids that just looked like we got left behind. Still under the desk. Like, nope, I ain't coming out till my mother get here. Like, nope, I ain't playing with y'all today. Just nope. I was in the fourth grade, too, so I ain't trusting nobody. You hear me? Like, just no. Just all around no. So I definitely want to know how you spent your first snow day of the year yesterday. So you can give us a call. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. But I want to make this known, because I got to jump into this. This is something that really, truly bothered me this week. With your boy, Roland Martin, man. They canceled his show. That hurt my feelings. Honestly, truly, that hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings because I'm one who truly, truly, truly supports Black Talk Media, unapologetic media, someone who's just, you know, speaking in their truths, walking in their purpose, giving the people the news that, you know, not necessarily everyone is talking about, giving people the actual factuals, breaking it down, putting people on their platform to educate and re-educate people every time that they get on the airways. So, like, when they canceled Roland Martin's show this past Thursday, Friday, I was just like, yo, this is not real. Like, I had to hit my boy up on Twitter. Like, yo, I wish I had his number, because I would have blew his phone up. Like, what is really going on? But I really, really want to make just this is known. Like, radio, without a doubt, is a communication tool that is most available across the country and beyond. Like, you cannot say radio is not where it's at. You know what I'm saying? You cannot say radio is not your daily dosage. You cannot say radio is something that you just honestly don't listen to, whether it's a podcast or an actual, you know, commercial radio. It's still radio, as they call it, terrestrial radio. You know what I'm saying? It's still radio. It's still an outlet to listen and to interpret and to engage and to give your opinion and your perspectives and to educate yourself, re-educate yourself, whatever it may be. Radio can be used as a powerful educational tool to raise awareness on important issues. And this is something that I truly, truly believe. And radio, without a doubt, is something that can change so many things around us, change our community, bring us closer to unity. It can do so many different things, because you would be able to listen to someone of your choice, of course, who honestly thinks like you, I guess, you know, have a like-minded mind such as you, anything of that nature. And it's a way that you can actually expand your mind to different perspectives and different opinions. Like, you could be listening to me right now in Germany. You know, you could be listening to me right now in Paris. And I'm talking about issues that's going on right now in the city of Philadelphia or in the DMV area. You know what I mean? So it's different. It's so many ways that you can connect people through the airwaves, you know what I mean? And that's why we have to revive your airwaves. That's why, you know what I'm saying, we give out that emergency contact number. If you just want to tell us how you feeling, if you just want to, you know, express your thoughts on a topic that we're talking about, that's why here at Revive, we are reviving your airwaves. But I definitely, definitely, definitely just wanted to break that down to let you guys understand how important Black Talk Media is, and also how important it is to actually have your own outlet, you know what I mean? Because they were able to cancel Roland without, honestly, any questions, concerns, any of that. Like, he just woke up. I'm sure, you know, they got him ready. But honestly, you don't have to, because in radio, you can walk into the studio one morning, they say you out, and the next day you're really just out. Like, it's no union, it's no contract, it's none of that. You really just out. So for TV One to suspend the production of Roland Martin's founder of News One Now, because I'm thinking about TV One talking all fast. But yes, the name of the show is News One Now, as a daily morning show. It was a morning show that I listened to, honestly, every morning. Did you ever listen to it?
I listened to it a few times. It was just, for me, it was an outlet for Black voices that spoke about different issues and like you said earlier, topics that we need to hear. And I think it was the only, you know, Black-owned news broadcaster, which is very important for us, because we need that in this life right now. Like, we definitely need to hear our own voices, that someone who can we can resonate with and can expand different issues on another level.
Definitely on a whole other level, just on a, you know, on a level where it's transparent, you know what I mean? And on a level where it's like, hey, he looks like me. Hey, he has been through something that I've been through. Hey, he said something that made sense because I saw it somewhere before, but I don't really know. But I know if I keep listening, it just may clear up for me, you know, versus listening to Fox News in the morning. I'm never going to understand what they're talking about. You know what I'm saying? They're talking about cities and counties and things that I've never ever experienced, and I'm scared to death to even drive down. You know what I'm saying? So, like, just know. Just honestly, just know. But, yeah, so they canceled his show, Roland Martin's show, News 1 Now, and the last day the show will air will be December 21st. December 21st. And they're saying the reason why they canceled the show is because the News 1 Now did not gain traction with advertisers and viewers. TV One attempted to reconstruct News 1 Now in 2000. Reconstruct News 1 Now in 2018. So they're going to try to bring it back in 2018. So what's your point of canceling it now? Right. You know what I'm saying? Why don't you do everything you could possibly do now to keep the show alive? And if you couldn't get advertisers and viewers, which I don't think the viewership was a problem at all, maybe the advertising, because Roland went off on Twitter. He definitely went off on Twitter. But maybe the advertisers. But I think about it, if you pander to black-owned businesses, I don't think the advertising would be a problem at all, because TV One is a black-owned station. You know what I mean? It was, so it's like, how could you be playing anything other than black advertisement on your commercials? Like, you know, how can you be sponsored by anything other than black-owned businesses? This is just my opinion, because if you're looking for those big Apple and those big Google sponsors, of course, you know what I mean? Things are going to be lacking, because where's the diversity in their program? They're lacking diversity in general. You know what I'm saying? So how can you expect them to bring the viewership that you're looking for? You know what I'm saying? And it's not that it was people didn't want to listen to Roland, or people didn't necessarily respect Roland's opinion. And this is my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't know how other people feel. But if you have something to say, I definitely want to know. Once again, that emergency contact number is 215-490-9832. If you feel some type of way about Roland Martin's show getting canceled, then let me know. If you feel some type of way about them blaming it on the advertisers and the viewership, please let me know, because I don't think it was the viewerships. But if it was the advertising, it's their fault. They wasn't going to the community that would support them. They were reaching out to people that don't look like them, so of course they're not pressed to support you. You see what I'm saying? Look, think about what happened with Bill Cosby. You know what I'm saying? Think about what happened with Bill Cosby trying to buy MSNBC. It was a wrap from there. Definitely it was a wrap from there.
Another thing I was going to say is just that, like, even if it was the viewership or the advertisements, we have shows, not knocking any other shows, but we have shows like Hip Hop Atlanta, Housewives, all these types of reality shows. But when we have an actual legit show that is informing us about different issues and different things that we definitely need to talk about and definitely need to hear, it's an issue. And that's just a problem for me. Like, we need to figure out the balance in that.
Because the crazy part is, the lie sounds so much better than the truth. So they love watching those reality shows full of a bunch of lies, scandals, and controversy, drama, and all that, versus sitting down for an hour or two, listening to someone who's speaking nothing but facts that can change your entire life, change your kids' life, your parents' life, whoever it may be. It can actually literally change your perspective of how you even want to live your life. Even if you don't want to change your life, you can just think about, yo, I really could change if I wanted to. You know what I'm saying? But we do have a call on the line, so I want to jump into this caller. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
This is Scotty calling from North Carolina. How are you all today?
We're great. What's up, Scotty? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm doing the best I can behind these enemy lines. But very interesting topic. Let me say this about Roland Martin. Roland Martin did some good bringing some of the news stories that we wouldn't get from anywhere else, or he would go more in depth to those stories, you know, from a black perspective. But at the same time, he still is an establishment journalist. You know, I'll never forget during last year's campaign, you know, him doing the jig up there on the stage with Hillary Clinton. And, you know, and when it comes to politics, I don't think that he was objective. I don't think, you know, I think he put on his Democrat hat instead of being an objective journalist. With that said, like I told somebody else, he still was bringing some important stories that, you know, other than alternative media like this show we listening to now, he would bring us some important stories pertaining to Black people that we weren't getting anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Now, I looked up when I heard that his program, because I don't watch a lot of television, but I do follow his YouTube channel. And, you know, whenever he have a good segment, I would share that even on my own platform and stuff. So, but when I looked up their programming for that station or that channel, I was very disappointed. First of all, he's coming on at 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Don't you think that got something to do with why ain't too many people tuning in at that time in the morning? They either getting ready for school, getting ready to going on to work, or hell, I don't even get up until at least no later than 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not up at 7 a.m. to be watching TV. So again, that's why I was subscribed to his show on his YouTube channel. But then I looked at their entire programming, and it's pitiful. It's mostly a bunch of reruns of Good Times, The Cosby Show, A Different World, and then at night, it's a whole bunch of reality crap like you was just talking about. So that station, you know, the only good thing that was really on the station that I felt like, you know, was important was his show. But again, you look at that time, 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, why are you putting him on that early in the morning? You put people on that early in the morning that you really, you know, that's not really showing a commitment to a news program. He was the only news show on that station. That's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
No problem. You actually brought up a lot of good points, man. You definitely did, especially with the time frame. With the time frame, he brought up a really good point when he said about the 7 a.m. That is very impactful. You know what I'm saying? Not a lot of people are up at 7 a.m., but the thing about it is that, in my opinion, once again, I wish I had the opportunity of speaking with someone from TV1. We got to reach out. Yeah. We got to reach out to see what's up. But yes, in my opinion, I feel as though they had him on at 7 a.m. because they wanted to compete with other news outlets. You know, such as a Fox 5, a CBS, a CNN, they're 24 hours. You know, their news channel is streaming 24 hours. They're never stopping. They got a 7 a.m., a 9 a.m., a 11 a.m., a 1 p.m., a 2 p.m. You know what I mean? They got all of that going on their channel. So I think what TV1 tried to do, they tried to compete. But TV1 doesn't have any original series. You know, like a Netflix has an original series. BET has an original series. MTV2 has an original series. They don't have that. But one thing that Roland said when he went on his tangent on Twitter the other day is the lack of resources. And I know we always complain about lack of resources, but the way he broke it down is saying that we cannot be on the front line. So like when everything happened in Ferguson, they don't have the resources to fly their news team out to be on the front line to get all the information they need at Ferguson. You know, when things happened in Baltimore, they didn't have the opportunity of going directly to the city and getting things done when everything happened with Freddie Gray. So it's like they don't have the resources that they need. But at the same time, it's like, are you guys really reaching out to the people who have that money? Like Tab Money said, yo, reach out to, you know, a Boyce Watkins, reach out to, you know, a Cornel West, reach out to a Dame Dash, reach out to a P. Diddy. P. Diddy has an entire station on cable TV, Revolt TV, that is running 24 hours a day. You cannot tell me this. Reach out to a 50 Cent who is killing it right now. Like, you cannot tell me that you are not utilizing your resources. So when you say you don't have any resources, I am going to look at you sideways because there's so many resources out there who look just like you, who have the money that you don't have. And I'm speaking directly to TV1. And then as far as Roland, I hope that you actually go and you go be on a platform and a media outlet who actually is going to not cater to what you need, but is going to give you what you need in order for you to continue to educate and re-educate the people in general. Like, just think about it. BET just dropped information about a social media awards. If they have the bread, the bag to drop an additional award show for, you know what I'm saying? They should have the bread to give you something. Because BET, if you think about it, BET doesn't have any news. It's not like a segment that comes on BET that says, oh, BET News. It's nothing like that. BET Nightly. Well, they used to have BET Nightly News, I think. I feel like that's ringing a bell somewhere. But yeah, they don't have necessarily a news outlet such as a Roland Martin News One now. So we need that outlet. You know what I'm saying? This is not the time to kick a Roland Martin off the air. And I'm not necessarily saying that it has to be Roland to speak to us, but anyone who is unapologetically just ready, you know what I'm saying, just articulate, who's ready to educate the people, and that's what we need. It's so, and I don't want us to keep using this excuse that we don't have resources. We do. You just gotta go get them. You just gotta go find them. You just gotta go network with them. You gotta make your network your network. It's just that simple, point blank simple. So I definitely really wish that he gets what he needs, and I definitely think that TV One needs to just redo themselves, like just automatically just start. And Sunny also brought up something when he said that they don't have nothing at the end, like with the reruns and stuff. But I get jiggy with the reruns. I ain't gonna hold you. Like, I sit down and binge watch A Different World anytime, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna hold you, but that is definitely not something that's gonna bring in the dollars, you know what I'm saying? Because ain't nobody paying to watch A Different World, you know. But I
would definitely pay to watch Different World, Bill Cosby, Martin, all of these shows, definitely.
Even Good Times, I ain't gonna hold you. I'm with the good. That's a lot of lessons in the Good Times. I ain't gonna hold you. JJ is dynamite. You hear me? It's like, nah. But we should have our first guest coming up. But before we get to our next guest, I am gonna go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be up with our next guest. It's me, your girl, POC. And once again, we are reviving your airways from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So I need you guys to hit that emergency contact number right now, 215-490-9832. Or you can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC. The question of the day, once again, is what did you do yesterday on the first snow day of the year? How was your first snow day? Let us know here on Revive. Once again, 215-490-9832. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Hello. Yes. Can I ask a few questions about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone. Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
Not available?
Hello, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about the apartment on Park Street.
Just been rented.
Hello, I am Chen Ling.
My name is Khalidin Ali.
I'm Tuan Vol.
Hello, my name is Moshe Goldberg. I use a wheelchair.
It's gone.
Not available.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call us. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if disaster strikes without warning? What if the life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today, learn how at www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised that my beginning was his end. After all, we were just friends. Although in my world, I was his girl, so I would pretend to be his wife, saying shit like, it's only so many years in a woman's life. Right, so I gave him 3. Yet he had the audacity to step to me on this Donnell Jones, I don't know where I want to be type shit. Yo, it wasn't supposed to be like this. He hit me with the forehead kiss, told me life was a journey, and he was ready to explore this shit. And I was pissed. To me, he was a hypocrite, like a fake preacher in the pulpit, and he left me sick. And no, he didn't choose me, but that doesn't make him right nor wrong. And just because he was the epitome of my life doesn't make me wrong nor right. Like I said, I was his friend, not his wife. And I should have acted within that capacity, and maybe then this breakup would have been just one of those things instead of a fucking tragedy. And all that time I spent mad at him, hell, I should have been mad at me. After all, I was the one that gave him the key to my house and let him hang clothes in my closet just in case we go out. Not to mention washing all his dirty clothes just to make a full load and letting him finish off all the leftovers just so the food don't go old. For the times that we raw dog because he lost all the rubbers, and though I showed him more support than his own father, brother, sister, and mother, and just because those same people dial my number when they trying to get in touch and he receives mail in my address just because he be here so much. Got total control of the remote control to the TV, DVD, DN radio. And even though his name is not on my lease, got shit in my house that's off limits to me, like his side of my bed and his stash of weed. But none of this obligates him to me, because not once did we exchange vows. And if I knew then what I know now, I probably would have listened when he said it was some shit he had to get up out his system. But see, I was too busy bitching, jumping bad like I was gonna hit him, because in the back of my mind, all I could fathom was how much I was gonna miss him. But just because I'm crying, y'all, don't mean that I'm the victim. Just means I was scared to let him go because some other chick might get him. And that was my fault, because it was my decision. I should have never put my heart in my mind's position. But I couldn't shake him. He was like a bad habit, and all this for a nigga that was just average, doing average nigga shit. And all this for a nigga that was average, doing average nigga shit, like talking out the side of his neck and thinking with his dick. But I must admit, he's the one I wanted to commit, so either I wasn't living up to my potential or I was just the average chick. But I choose to believe I was a woman caught up in a feeling, both physical and emotional, who was way too willing to give her all to a man. And though it may sound stupid, guess what? I would do it all again. Just next time for my husband and not that nigga I call my friend.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Hey. Proof of consciousness. Proof of consciousness. POC. You know what time it is. Open up your ears.
Already know what time it is. It's me, your girl POC, and we are back live. Spread the word, spread the message. We are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go directly to tune in. You can either download the app or go to the website and just search Time for an Awakening here. Meet your girl POC, reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. or you can go directly to my Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and just simply click that link in the bio. You know what I'm saying? Because we're in a technology phase right now where you just want to do it at the click of a button. So go ahead and subscribe to that newsletter right now at timeforanawakening.com/revive so you can stay in the loop with everything that's going on here at Revive. And you already know your girl Harmony the Goddess puts that together each and every year. But let's jump into our next guest. I definitely say year. I'm ready for the new year. That's why I'm just ready for the new year. But let's jump into our next guest. I'm extremely excited to be talking with him because everything that he is doing with the youth, man, we need more people like him. We have to educate our youth the right way. Not based on our opinions and our feelings and our emotions, based on what they need to know, giving them the need to know. Definitely. Yo, Harmony, who we got coming up on the Revive platform?
Yes. We have the amazing Kalik Hayes, definitely the kids is the future. He is the founder of Childhood's Loss, which is a group foundation. He's an entrepreneur, mentor, chess chat creator, visionary, youth speaker, and advocate. And we welcome you on the Revive platform. Thank you so much for taking your time out to talk to us and talk about the youth, because they are definitely our future. Welcome to the Revive platform, Mr. Hayes. Can you hear me? I hear you loud and clear. Yes, I can hear you. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
No, I can hear you loud and clear. How you feeling? How you feeling? It's Sunday. Are you awake? Are you awake?
Yeah. Always. I'm always awake. Yes, I'm ready to go. That's I appreciate the platform and y'all ladies having me on.
No doubt. No, we have to have you on based on what you're doing with our young boys out here in the city of Philadelphia, man. I know we just, read a short bio of you, but no one can introduce you like how you introduce yourself. So I would love for you to go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
Well, I am Khalik Hayes, co-founder. It was Childhood's Loss Foundation and Childhood's Loss Entertainment Group was founded by myself and my brother, Stephen Gardner, who's not on the call. And it was founded about six, seven years ago. We've been doing business together for about 15 years, but it was founded on the premise of just really doing whatever we can do to impact and empower and enlighten young people, not only with really the positive, but also looking at the negative things that are going on with them and trying to show them how to get around it, be better than that, to recognize things are going to happen, and just really speaking to their situations. We started Childhood's Loss with that as our initiative. We tried to do a lot of things. We wrote a book. We started with writing a book that no one really picked up or didn't really receive anything. So we took that book and we turned it into a stage play. And that really was the birth of our mission. To date, we've been on stage about 17 times. All of the materials for and about young people, the things they're going through, speaking to the legacies of our people, just really telling their stories through whatever platform that we have.
I'm with you on that one, definitely. And one thing you said that stood out to me is that you actually started this organization with your brother. How is that, especially with, today's society and how they look down on African-American men and, when black-owned businesses are started and things like that. How are you guys praised, throughout your experiences by being two brothers, two African-American men just, trying to do the right thing and educate the youth? How has that been for you?
For us, it's been excellent because we have our purpose is in alignment. We knew when we set out what we wanted to do. It wasn't even about us being brothers. This is just about us sharing the same vision, and we just happen to be brothers, and we've always tried to build each other up and really support each other. So to be able to do something together where we're supporting each other and also we're able to give back and, and again, do something that's aligned with what we believe our purpose is, it just makes sense. A lot of people don't even know we're brothers until we tell them, and we may not say nothing until something's done, because that's not really for us. It's just about the work and doing things. And, we are brothers, real brothers. We grew up. He was my older brother. He used to take me shopping and come try to get me out the house because we didn't share mom. So he would come over and try to do things with me because my childhood was a little difficult. So, it's my brother. And we've really been working on really trying to build something that's sustainable and that makes a difference.
Definitely. And you guys are the exact example that we need when it comes to generational wealth. And keeping the dollar in the family, keeping that dollar cycling, in that family instead of it leaving our actual table. So I support that, brotherhood combination right there already. But I want to jump into the reason why I asked is because on your Instagram page, you're promoting a book. It says The 6 A's of Manhood for African-American Men. And that seemed really intriguing. Like, it stood out to me. Could you go ahead and tell us a little bit about that book and how it's helping, the kids that are participating in your organization?
You know what? That book is by a gentleman named Mitchell Chance, who's from Philly, from the area. And I've been following him for a long time. Years ago, he brought a group of kids to one of our productions. I think it was his church group, but about 20 or 30 kids. And ever since then, just the synergy. I watch what he do. He watch what we do. And he's really about uplifting and empowering not just the black man or the black youth, just black in general. And it's something we said about that because a lot of people, we say, okay, we're about black people. We want to empower black people. But when you look at the work we're doing, it doesn't it doesn't coincide. So I'm always looking for people that, you know, that they're not only saying it, they're doing it. And I can say that about them. So with the book club, one of my our biggest things is it's called the Black Boy Experience. And more so than a book, it is about an experience. We want them to experience Black literature, Black writers, experience what other Black men and Black women have said about the Black boy condition and situation and how they should be looking at it and dealing with it. So the book just fell right in. It's the 6 A's of manhood, but before you're a man, you're a child. And a lot of the habits you get by the time you get to manhood, you started them when you were young. So we just, we're using the book, and we haven't gotten in it. We were supposed to start the book yesterday, but because of the weather, we didn't get started with it. So we'll start with the book next week. And we take 4 or 5 weeks, and we just dive into the material. We do different activities based on it. And it's not just about giving them a book. We're also building a library, because the other part of it is, what are you doing in your off time? What are you reading? What are you tinkered in? And we got to be really conscious of that, especially with our young Black boys. Where are they getting their information from? So all of these boys, they're going to have their own libraries with books like The 6 A's of Manhood. We just did Black Boy by Richard Wright. You know, Mass Incarceration by Michelle Alexander. Things that make sense to their plight, their situation. So that's really that's the Black Boy Experience.
I'm with you on that one. I'm all the way with you on that one. Because some people don't even understand that you can start your own library. Most people have the perceptions that, you know, you have to get up and go to the library. They don't understand that you can start your own library right there where you are, right there in your home. You know, based off the collections of books that you get, you know, as you're moving throughout your life. You know, a book that you read at 12 can still be on your shelf at 21. You know what I mean? Because you can pass that book down that you read at 12 to the next person who turns 12, you know, and it can do for them what it did for you. So that's something that I always try to put out there as well. And I know that you guys name it the Black Boy Experience. Is that who you're catering to when it comes to this book club, or are you guys expanding it to everyone?
It is catered to Black boy, young Black boys, and it's really intentional. And a lot of times we say, oh, you know, I have people say, well, it's just, what about other boys? I'm not anti anything, but I am pro-black, especially pro-Black boys, because, you know, I feel like even in our name, childhood's lost. You know, I struggled. I lost my childhood, a young Black boy. It was a lot of things I didn't know. It was a lot of things that wasn't afforded to me, a lot of situations I was in where I just, you know, if I would have had the things that I'm trying to give to young Black boys right now, I think it would have made a difference. So that is my passion. I want to make sure that our Black boys, they're able to succeed and succeed where they're up against a lot of things that a lot of other cultures and races aren't up against. And that is just the truth.
I'm with you. And my next question is, so how do you tend to, you know, meet the child where they're at? You know, because in today's society, you have to meet the person where they're at. You know, you cannot expect the person. And that's something that I have to learn in myself. You cannot expect someone to be where you are already. You know, some people you have to go get. So how do you tend to meet the child where they're at when they're coming into the book club? Because not everyone can read, not everyone can write, not everyone can be articulate. So how do you guys, you know, keep everyone on the same page when it comes to the book club?
One, you start with listening. I mean, I believe if you before you tell, you ask. You know, you ask what they like. You know, even in regards to the reading, we present books, but we present what we wanted the book to look like, but we also ask them what they would want to read based on what we can get in regards to the Black boy fight, because that is a part of it. But what would you like to read? What author would you like to dive into? Forget about that. Let's go back. Let's talk about rules, because we're going to govern whatever we do here. Let's figure out some rules, but we're not going to give you the rules. Y'all figure out rules, because you're going to be in enough situations growing up where y'all going to be governed by other people. We want y'all to know what that looks like and to start governing yourself. So if y'all generate your own rules, y'all should be able to follow them. So just really, with a sense of clarity and sincerity, just talking and listening and really, and I believe, and I've seen it, once you start doing it, and that's with the Black Boy Experience Book Club. That's the chess chat. That's why it's called chess chat, because it's not just about chess. It's about conversations. It's about developing something. I had kids that was in Chess Chat 4 years ago when we start. They may not be in Chess Chat right now, but they could still call me. I could still reach out to them. I could still talk to their parent to see where they're at if they need help with anything. It's about building community. Community isn't just about the person who's right down the street with you. It's about these young black and brown boys for us, or black and brown girls being able to reach someone else, to get to someone else who can help them in just their everyday, whether it's struggle or everyday successes. Sometimes they don't have nobody even talk to about a success because they're scared that they don't even know how that's going to look. So it's just really about getting to the meat of it and just walking with them.
I'm with you on that one. Definitely. You got to walk with them sometimes. You know what I mean? You got to let them know that they're loved. Because, you know, not a lot of youth at this time is getting that love at home. They're looking for it in different places outside of the home. And that's how most of them get caught up. So definitely, I agree with you when you say you got to walk with them. You got to show them that love. You got to show them that support. So let's dive a little bit into, Chess Talk. How was that? How has that been successful for you guys?
It's excellent. And it's funny thing is, humble beginnings. I started playing chess with my son. I was incarcerated over 5 years, fairly incarcerated. And one of the things that got me through was every day playing 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 games of chess. Mentally, it was calming. It helped me with just understanding patience, knowing that, you got to think different. So I started playing with my son at 8 years old. And I really, when I started playing, I'm like, and it's something I could do with, young, and it started again with young boys. It's something I could do with young boys because I'm always, no matter what I'm attached to, for me, the pulse of it, I'm always looking for ways to affect the generation, to affect these young people, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm involved in. So, like, what can I do? And we just started. I said, let's start Chess Chat. Well, what's Chess Chat? We want to show young people how to play chess, but we also want to talk to them and build with them and show them, teach them about the tenets of chess, patience, strategic thinking, things that they're going to need in everyday life and society. And we started it there. We opened it up. It's been a free program now for over 3.5 years. We never asked a parent or a child for anything. Just drop them off for 2 hours and allow us to build and grow with them, show them how to play the game and how the game relates to life. And it's been good. We've been in schools with it, again, consistently at the Urban Art Gallery now for 3.5 years. We're moving it around, so it's a staple of what, really the example of what we want childhood laws to be.
That the fact that you guys are teaching them how to play chess is, like, amazing to me, because that's something that I learned at probably, like, 13, 14, but I didn't get a chance to go to a class. I just sat down with someone who was, like, a family friend and just, taught us how to do it. So the fact that you guys are teaching them something out the norm, something that they don't see every day, is super dope to me. But my question to you is, like, how do you get them to sit down for that amount of time? You know what I mean? When it's so much social media going on, it's basketball, sports, then you have the rapping, everyone wants to be a rapper. Like, how do you get them to sit down that long to concentrate? Because chess is a game, you got to concentrate. It ain't no, just one move and you're done. You got to literally strategically plan your move. So how do you get these young kids, these young men, to sit down and concentrate, outside of everything? You got social media right there. Like, how do you fight with the phone?
Exposure. Sometimes it's just about, you show somebody something different and you never know. And don't get me wrong, some kids, their parents will bring them in and it may not be for them, but they may sit there because we're going to make sure they eat. They may sit there because their friend there and start talking and develop, and may play a little bit. Again, it starts with community. It starts with building something. All of them, ain't always attentive. However, they're in a space for 2 hours where they could just be themselves and we hope learn something else and have 2 or 3 more men that they know that they could count on. Chess, just like for the book club, the book is the backdrop to the story. It's really about just building, our young kings and queens, as we call it. And it's really about that. Chess is just, it's a platform to do that through. And so it works. And sometimes we get that just absolutely love the game. And now they got somewhere where they got men who play the game who can show them how to develop and really hone in on their skills. Some of them just come because they know every other first and third Sunday they got somewhere to go. We're going to get pizza. They're going to get to see some of their friends that's not in their school and just build.
That's what's up. I'm so happy you guys are giving them an outlet for that. What part of Philadelphia are you guys in?
We're in Chester is at the Urban Art Gallery in West Philly, 262 South 52nd Street. And we're also on Saturday starting, we were there before, but they closed it down. We'll be at Bear Rec Center in South Philly every 11 to 1. So both of those, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening to you. Go ahead.
So both of those are both completely free programs for any young people from the ages 8 to 17.
That's what my question was. How are the age, like, the age range? And do you guys actually have any guest speakers to come and actually talk to the youth or anything like that?
We do. We never mind it. We've had some in the past. We haven't had any as of recent, but it's always something we looking at. You know, again, we even just having other men who you know, even women for that matter, because Chess Chat now is not just boys, it's girls and boys. So just having people who could come in, you know, who could speak to them, just about, it's really about life, you know. Like you said, through love, we want them to know that you got other people here for you, you know. And we want to show them what, you know, success and, you know, and upstanding and, you know, respectable, you know, men and women up there, you know, what it looks like. So we're always looking to put other people in front of them.
That's what's up. I'm definitely, watch out for an email from me, because I'm definitely about to send you something. I have a great idea that I want to send your way. But at the same time, as you being an entrepreneur, you know, your brother being an entrepreneur, you guys started your own business, your own organization. Are you guys teaching entrepreneurship to, you know, the youth that comes past your way? Are you guys, you know, pouring into them, you know, the financial literacy that they need and things of that nature?
Yes, always. I mean, even with what we do with stage, one of the things we do with stage is not just about having young people. For one, all our players, we always got it designed so young people can be a part of it. Either they're actors on stage, or even if they, some of them want to write. You know, we had a young man, we working on a movie. We had a young man who just went away to college, but last year, you know, he was interested in writing. What's the school for? All right, how about you write a movie for us? You know, sit down and do it, and you know, whatever we do with it, you'll be compensated. So just showing them different ways. If they want to be cameramen or, you know, it's other things. It's not just about being a someone. Like for me, I'm really in the back. I produce, you know, I'm not right there in front, but it's just other things that they can do in other ways. So we're always trying to, whatever we could show them or teach them so that they're successful now and more important when they get older. I always talk about the attack on the generation. They're not, you know, they're not necessarily after the 35, 40-year-old. The attack is on a 14 or 15-year-old. If you could get, you know, if you could stop them from being, from getting the education, from understanding good health, or understanding financial literacy, then you stop in a generation. But if, you know, you get enough people speaking into them, showing them how they should be and how they need to be, then you got a problem. So for me, it's about really letting them know what they can do and helping them get there.
I'm with you on that. And I think you have a caller on the line, so let's see what this caller has to say. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from? We can't hear you. Say something one more time.
Hi, it's Tony from West Philly.
Hey, Tony, how you feeling today? You have a caller? You have a question for our caller today, our guest today?
No, I just tuned in. I was just listening.
Okay, awesome. Stay tuned and spread the word that we're live until 1 p.m. in the day. But I definitely wanted to get back with you, though. Exactly. So you guys have a lot of things coming up before the end of the year. You know, you have something coming on December 17th and December 16th. I'm really interested in this Chalk on the Sidewalk. I think that's going to be super dope. Can you go ahead and dive into that for us?
That is not mine. That's Michelle Greer. That's actually her program. And I mean, it's such a powerful initiative. And what she did was she took a bunch of young people, aspiring writers, and she got them together and just started building and pouring into them. And what she did was, she's actually a writer by her own right. She composed a book of short stories, their short stories, and they're ready to release volume one. And for me, it's just about, I know her. She's actually, we're doing a kid's book, and she's helping us with the writing and that. She's a part of that. So I know her passion, you know, for building up the youth. And again, it's about not only doing the work, but supporting the other people that's doing the work as well. And she's definitely doing the work for and about young people. So it's just really about supporting her initiative and making sure these young people have the support they need. 5 or 6 young people writing a story, you gotta support that. So, and it's an awesome initiative. So that launches on this week, actually Saturday. So I'll be there and be a part of that. And just, you know, wherever I can be where, you know, we try to uplift and inspire young people. That's usually what
I wish on that. So let's jump into the 17th. So the book will be ready on the 16th. So that's when you'll be able to get a copy?
Yep, they'll have you can pre-sell, and I think I'm pretty sure they'll have books there where they'll be signing books, and, you know, the book will actually be available there.
Are you an author yourself?
Yes, I am. Well, we wrote Child Is Lost. It's funny, we pulled the book about 2.5 years ago. We wrote our first book, Child Is Lost. And it was really, for me, it was just about things that young people, showing their plight, showing their situation through story. It didn't do well. You know, I never went to school for writing. I said, we're just going to do it. We're going to figure out, you know, we're going to do it. So we done it. But it really wasn't what we wanted. You know, we didn't receive, you know, it just wasn't what we wanted. So we just came back to the table, and we took it in the way of stage. So we started doing it with stage. But as of recent, we just did a kid's book based on, we got a kid's series coming out, Childhood's Lost. But all the stories are based on different things. Like the first book is called T.T. Big Race, but it's about bullying. So, you know, just really, again, you know, just staying right there and really dealing with the issue. So we'll be releasing that in sometime in late January.
So when you say series, you mean like a web series? Like, what do you mean when you say series?
The book will be a series. It'll be a series of five books dealing with different issues.
Okay, okay.
The first book will be about bullying. The second book is going to be about peer pressure. But they're for they're children's stories.
Okay. I would love to definitely dive into that, too. So I'm going to look out for that. You say at the end of January?
Yes.
All right, cool. And let's jump into the 17th as well. You guys got something going on the 17th of December. Mix with a little art, you know, mix with a little education. It's a lot going on this one. So definitely go ahead and spread that information for the people.
The 17th, I don't know what we got going on the 17th. It's funny. I think it may be, we're doing, I don't think we have anything that is Childhood's Lost going on December the 17th. We have, we're a part of another situation with, Brandon Capture. They're doing an event, where they feature young artists, and it's pretty much a give back. I know we're part of that. We'll have our chess chat table out. And again, you know, young people will be there. So just really being a part of whatever we could be a part of that's about touring about young people.
I'm with you on that one. It was the Roman J. Israel Esquire, that event.
Yes, now that's different. That's Saturday. I think is that the 17th? Well, that is the next Saturday. I think it's the 17th or the 16th. And that's really about just trying to be always being social conscious, understand. I truly, truly believe it is a war against our young people, especially black and brown boys. So we're always looking for ways. And that's part of what the Black Boy Experience. And you'll see a lot more from the Black Boy Experience. That's really what it's going to be about, really looking at the experience that young black boys are either going through or going to have to face and trying to get them in front of it, or at least get them to know what it looks like, because you can't fight. You can't fight a war if you don't know you're being attacked. That's the first thing. So we're taking a group of about 25 young men to see the movie Roman J. Israel, which is based on a true story. Then we're going to bring them back to the art gallery, and we're going to have 3 to 4 speakers talk about how the justice system really looks and how it looks being a lawyer, being a prosecutor, and the things that you're going to be up against. So like you said, it's really meeting them where they're at, taking them to see a movie, bringing them back, making sure they got lunch, and really unpacking some things so that they get an understanding of this is really about you. You might be 14, 15, but you could end up in these situations. So you should know what it will look like or what it can look like.
Yes. So go ahead and tell the people how they can find more information, how they can find you guys on social media, your websites, things like that, how they can definitely stay tuned for that series that will be dropping in late January. Go ahead and educate the people.
I am an open book. My social media is my brand. You can find me on Facebook, just my name, Kalik Hayes, on Instagram and Twitter, Childhood's Lost, THL Foundation. And you can follow me as well on Instagram at Childhood Lost Is Me. Again, all the information will be there. All I post about it is either what we're doing or what we got coming up. We have another big thing coming up that just for in a minute in March. February and March, I'm always trying to look at what can we really do, really different outside of that box. I'm always looking at stage. So in March, we're doing a play called Where Are the Tubmans? It's Legacy. It's part two of our stage play, Legacy. And we're just highlighting that the lives of some women heroes for young females. And I'm honored we'll be doing this first at Rowan University. So I'm looking for other institutions where our kids will be at to really get behind it and bring this production so that they could see people like Asada Shakur, Afeni Shakur, Afia Gibson, see their contributions as women to, you know, how we are now, what we're able to do.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. I'm definitely going to continue to follow you and your journey to success. I love what you are doing for the youth here in the city of Philadelphia. I cannot wait till you get that opportunity to expand to other cities and, in other states. I really think what you're doing is huge. We need more people like you. We need to multiply you. You know, we need to multiply your organization because you guys are doing really big things. But you also have something coming up in the new year as well that I wanted to touch on about the Black Gala.
Yes, yes.
You guys have something to do with
The Black Gala, that's going to be, we got in on that last year. We did it last year, and it was really a tremendous event. And it was just about celebrating the work that was being done in our community, especially by Black people in the community, giving them a platform. And what it was people were able to go in to nominate, just normal people based on the work they were doing and, vote on them. And we just did a huge event recognizing those people, Child's Laws Organization, along with Emil Acosta, who actually who started the Black Gala a year before, brought us on last year. And this year, it's just going to be really bigger. This year, we're doing we're celebrating Women of Purpose. So we're doing it in March, Women's History Month, and the event is really going. We're going to do our best to recognize women, women in and around the tri-state that are really doing major things. It's important that we do that. So that's what we're going to do. It's going to be on March the 17th, 250 people celebrating, Black excellence.
I'm with you on that. And I want to thank you once again for coming on the Revive Show and supporting us here this morning. Thank you for waking up with us. I appreciate you, man. Once again, I really, truly love what you're doing, and I really hope it just takes off from here. Congratulations on everything that you have already accomplished, and I already know you're going to accomplish more. Have a good one.
I appreciate you. I'm humbled to be on and keep doing what y'all doing. Like, we need as many platforms like this as possible. Y'all doing an amazing job. And again, thank you for the time and allowing me to tell people about what it is you're trying to do.
No doubt. No doubt. Have a great week. Have a great week. Man, that was a great, great, great interview today, man. He really is out there. Well, him and his brother. I don't want to exit out his brother. Him and his brother are really out there doing tremendous, tremendous, tremendous amount of work. You know what I mean? They're doing things with the youth and in the community that people are not doing when they're asleep. You know, people out here taking naps, like what I tried to do yesterday, right? People out here taking naps when we really need to be out here saving the youth, because at the end of the day, these are going to be our educators. You know what I mean? These are going to be our next police. These are going to be our next firemen. These are going to be our next ambulance. These are going to be our next doctors. So we have to, we have to take them under our wing. We have to show them the love and support. We have to show them there's something bigger than social media. You know what I mean? We have to show them that you need to live in reality. You know what's going on around you. Know what's going on around you. Know who your local officials are. Know the game of chess. Know how to make the right move. Know how to take your pawn. Know how to take that rook. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, shout out to them and everything that they're doing. I truly, truly appreciate it. But you already know we got your boy Keith Taylor from the Left Side of Politics coming on for the What's Buzzing segment here on Revive. Once again, we are reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You already know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be up with your boy, Keith Taylor. And you already know Harmony the God has got some inspirational, motivational for you guys. I just try to make something up. Does that sound right? Inspirational, motivational type words for you guys today on this lovely Sunday. We cannot forget about that. We're going to drop something on you that's going to take you into the next Sunday when you're listening to me, your girl, POC. So make sure you guys stay tuned. You know what time it is. We're going to go to a quick commercial break.
Growing up, you learn that if you get good grades in high school and get a college degree, you will have your shot at the American dream. Unfortunately, that is no longer true. There are currently 20 million Americans attending college every year. 20 million students, 20 million different stories, one struggle, and one call to action. The current student loan debt crisis has now reached $1 trillion and continues to grow $3,000 a second. 20 million students, all with the same problem, and yet so few are willing to stand against it. Will you?
Where bullying isn't considered a normal part of childhood.
A world where I'm not afraid to go to school.
To speak out.
To be myself.
A world where I'm not afraid to be caught alone.
You have the power to stop bullying.
Speak up.
Speak out.
Educate.
Find out what to look for and how you can make a difference.
Bullying isn't kids being kids.
It's not about good homes or bad homes.
It's not a normal part of growing up.
I shouldn't be afraid to get on the school bus.
To turn on my computer.
Or to walk to my locker.
Did you know that a bully will stop his or her behavior in 10 seconds when their peers speak up?
Use your voice.
We have the power to stop bullying.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
Revive. It's me, your girl POC. You already know I'm reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you already know each and every Wednesday it go down here on timeforanawakening.com/revive from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that emergency contact number every time I'm on the airways, on the lines, I need y'all to hit my lines. 215-490-9832. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. When you looking for a link to click, that thing is right there in my bio. And that's Revive_POC, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Yo, Harmony looking at me like, yo, you corny. Yo, that last commercial, the good time. That was me. That was like me trying to pour out to Roland, you know, Roland Martin, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still a good time, you know? We hanging in the jungle, you know, good times. Even with the layoffs. You know, even with the credit card, you know, it's like, nah, scratching it, it's a vibe. It's like, nah, I'm done, for real. They gave me the commercials today, so I got real excited. I wanted to choose my own. Definitely, I was feeling some type of way, you know, with that Saved by the Bell. That's my shit. That's my show. Sugar Honey Iced Tea. Yes, yes. But you already know what time it is. We about to jump on with your boy Keith Teller from the Left Side of Politics, man, with the What's Buzzing segment. You know what time it is.
What's buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as what's buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the nothing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion. Let's talk about it. What?
Yes, yes, you already know what time it is. Keith, how you feeling right now?
I'm feeling pretty good. What up, POC, Harmony, how are you all?
Hello, peace and blessings to you.
Same to you all. What's been going on?
I'm kind of jealous, man. Are you out there in the sunny weather right now?
I am actually in Florida right now. About to fly back to Atlanta.
Oh, my God. Goodness, you went in Florida. Is it sunny out there, or y'all got snow too? Did y'all get some snow?
I mean, you know, they don't call it the Sunshine State for nothing now. Nah, it's actually pretty good. It's about 50 degrees out here. I've seen, y'all been having some winter weather up there.
Man, we out here in snow boots. You already know the heavy hands are zipped up to my neck. I got the jumpsuit on. Keep. You know how we get it down in DMV. We play snow games. We got a snow suit. We got a snowman.
Right. A lot of the rest of them still with the Nike boots.
Still with the Nike boots. You know, already know, man. How is Florida treating you? How is Florida treating you?
It's pretty good. Just came down here for a day. That's what's up. Just came down here for a day. But, you know, I moved out to the West Coast, which is now the best coast. So, L.A. is nothing but love.
That's why I thought but you were. That's what I was saying. Like, yeah. It was in the sun.
You say what?
That's why I was asking you, how was that sun treating you? How was L.A. treating you so far?
Oh, L.A. is a wonderful town. I mean, I don't think I'm coming back to the East Coast. I love it out there.
That's what's up. And as you're saying, you're about to fly back to Atlanta. You already know we got to jump into this Mayor Keisha story, Keith, man. We got Mayor Keisha up in Atlanta. How you feeling about that, man? Tell me your opinion first.
I feel pretty good about it. I mean, it's definitely a good look for the city. Everybody in the city is hyped. I mean, as you can tell, so many celebrities have been endorsing her. Tyrese was at the ceremony. I mean, T.I., Killer Mike was on Instagram and Twitter. I mean, the city is definitely feeling that one because when people look at Keisha, they see themselves. They see their children. And for her to be an African-American female woman and you figure the black Mecca of the world, I mean, it's just like, okay, even though with all that's going on federally, locally, we got somebody who can represent us. And the city is loving it.
I'm with you on that one, definitely. But, based on, because you're in Atlanta a lot, you don't live there no more, you know what I mean? I'm hating them just a little bit. But based on, you know, by you staying in Atlanta for a little bit of time and things like that, how do you think her policies, you know, everything she's going to implement is going to actually help the city? Has she touched on a little bit of policies? Do you know any of her policies?
I think she is. I mean, when she was sitting on city council, she was in charge of, like, public charters and recreations and things like that. But she definitely helped the city in a major way. Even, I don't know if y'all are familiar, but the Atlanta Braves, they just got a whole new stadium. So they used to play in Turner Field. So what she ended up doing was she brokered a deal on behalf of the city to sort of, like, give Turner Field back to Georgia State. So helping out the public universities and colleges and the parks that are in the city. So she definitely has done some things that have helped enhance beautification of the city. But I definitely think from what Mayor Cassine Reed has started from the last 8 years, it will continue to be to that level and even maybe take a step beyond to what he has brought for the city.
That's what's up. And I may be ignorant. I'm sorry. But is she the first woman to ever be the mayor of Atlanta?
No. So she would actually be the second African-American female mayor in the history of Atlanta.
That's what's up.
So there was one before. I mean, but still, just being in today's climate, an African-American female, I mean, it's definitely a great feeling for us all, males and females alike.
Definitely. And so what do you, you know, especially by you used to, you know, you used to stay in Atlanta. What do you think that the city needs at this point? You know what I mean? What do you think that the city of Atlanta needs? Like, I know what the city of Philadelphia needs, hands down. But what do you think that the city of Atlanta needs? Because you guys are growing in numbers. You know what I mean? Well, Atlanta's growing in numbers. So what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, Atlanta's like one of the fastest growing cities. Atlanta's one of the fastest growing cities in the nation. And especially for African Americans, I mean, a lot of even Caucasian people have begun to move back to the city of Atlanta. So I think Atlanta really needs that strong leadership because Atlanta is at a pivotal point in their, I guess you could say, in their city. Because right now, as you know, tons of businesses are moving to Atlanta, the state of Georgia. And Atlanta's at that point where at this moment they can decide if they want to be what we call an international city. So like your New York's, your D.C.'s, your L.A.'s, your Chicago's. Back. Or if they just want to kind of keep it as a low-key, even killed as, you know, your Charlottes of the world. Like, what does Atlanta really want to be known for? And I think at this moment in time, Keisha as the mayor and the citizens of Atlanta, they have that time to decide that. I mean, I know they were close to winning the Super Bowl, which hurts a lot of people from Atlanta, but Atlanta, I mean, you figure it's the rap capital of the world. So Atlanta, right, Atlanta at this point in time has a decision that it wants to make. So, and I think they will make the right decision about what it is that Atlanta really wants to be known for.
Definitely. And you know who actually made a decision yesterday? Mississippi. Mississippi definitely made a decision yesterday when they did not want to stand next to not my president, Donald Trump, yesterday down at the opening of the, you know, Civil Rights Museum in Mississippi. I thought that that was hilarious. It's like, just no, like, you can stay where you at. Ain't nobody supporting you down here.
I mean, go and touch we all know. Oh, it's no point to kind of beat on a dead horse. But this dude's a hypocrite. This dude, in one state over in Alabama, called the NFL players who protest sons of bees, and that they should get fired. The majority of those people are black. So then you want to turn around in 3 months' time, try to act like you never said any of that? Or about the people in Puerto Rico. I mean, it's just divisive comments all day, every day. Then you want to come to the opening of a Black History Museum and expect us to support you in that? No. Even Representative Lewis from Georgia was like, no, we take back his invitation. You're going to give me that. Because this is hypocritical of you, and we do not stand by you and whatever it is that you say or whatever it is that you want to be here. So they took back his invitation to show up to the public opening, and he still did go, but he went to go speak to an invite-only civil rights Mississippi opening ceremony for the museum and not the public ceremony.
Definitely. And I honestly, truly, I dig them. You know what I mean? I dig Councilman John Lewis. I dig everybody in Mississippi who was just like, yeah, no, because just like you said, he was someone who literally tormented us an entire year. You know what I mean? The year's not even over. He pretty much, you know, slandered our names, you know, put us out there as if, you know, we were the scum of the earth on so many different levels. And then you want to come talk to us. How can you be transparent with us? You know what I mean? What could you actually say to us? What could you actually speak honor to when it comes to everyone who has died, you know, for our civil rights, especially in Mississippi is a southern state. You know what I mean? Do you know how harsh slavery was going on in the state of Mississippi? So for you to come to Mississippi and think that you can speak to someone in any kind of way, you know what I mean, and think we will understand what you're saying is absolutely absurd. You know what I'm saying? Donald Trump is a clown. And the fact that he still came makes him even more of a clown. Because he really is really a popularity contest with him. He's like, well, you don't want me to come? I'm going to see who shows up. And no one showed up. If you look at because they took a picture, like paparazzi got a picture of how many empty seats were actually in that arena. You know, he's a clown for that.
And, I mean, you know how Donald is. But, you know, I'm
we can't really hear you, Keith. What did you say? I know you're traveling, but I can't really hear you right now.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear. What's up?
Yeah. I mean, you know it's a popularity contest with him. Man, he's going to be like, well, I showed up. Y'all didn't show up. So who's really the one that wants to work and make America better and do this and that?
Exactly. And actually, so is the museum open as of yesterday?
Yes.
That's what's up. And do they have, do you know any of the, like, the honorees that they have, you know, in the museum at all?
I'm not too sure. I would definitely think, but I'm sure as the African American Museum it is in D.C., just a tribute to the civil rights, and I would say more so to the civil rights movement in Mississippi, and to honor the legacies and the history that has happened within Mississippi.
I'm with you on that one. So definitely shout out to the whole state of Mississippi, man. I hope everyone gets down there to go visit that museum. It's important that we support our own. We have to support our own. We have to support our own. And go educate yourself on your history. You never know what may be down there. Had the opportunity of going to the one in D.C. that just opened, you know, a year back. And that one is tremendously amazing. I didn't even make it all the way through. That's how big it is. You know what I mean? Did you get a chance to go to the one in D.C. yet, Keith?
I still have yet to go because I've been away since it's been open, but that's definitely on my list to check out. I heard it's emotional.
It is.
Like, people go in there, they break down and cry. And then, like you said, it takes so long to get through because they're so fascinated and attracted.
Definitely.
In there. Like, it touches you on the inside, and you're just like, this is insane.
So much to read, and especially like when you get to like the Emmett Till showcase, it's like, yo, like, are you kidding me right now? Like, you really about to break all this down right now? So you're literally in the Emmett Till section for like an hour just trying to read everything, go through everything, look at the body, look at the casket. Like, it's so much going on right there. So definitely shout out to everyone who put together, because, you know, it was so much black excellence going on in that one. You know, you had Oprah donating, you had everybody, Michael Jordan donating, everybody was donated to that museum. So I really hope that everyone does the same for the one down there in Mississippi. But I do want to jump
in. Yeah, and I think what also... No, I was about to say one more thing on that. I think what also made the National African American Museum so special is the fact that we had our first African American president in office when that opened. So it was just like an added layer on top of that. Like, this is all too surreal.
Yes, 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 man. We got to pay attention out here, definitely. But I don't want to stay on Trump too long, but I definitely want to jump into this sexual harassment situation that he has going on. This cannot just go unsaid. This cannot be something that we just sweep under the rug. This is not something that we can forget about. We have to keep putting this into, you know, headline. This has to be the headliner. This has to be the main story. This has to be the current event that's going on right now, because it's about 19 women who have accused, not my president, but y'all president, Donald Trump, of sexual misconduct, Keith. 19 women? He up here sounding like, you know what I'm saying, Hugh Hefner or somebody.
Right. I know. It's crazy. And what makes it even worse is that this dude admitted that he does it. Like, you have him on live tape with Billy Bush, mm-hmm, saying that, yeah, he walks up to women and does this. It's not like it's allegations or some women just randomly came out and started saying that they've been sexually assaulted or Donald Trump touched them inappropriately. Like, no, you have this dude on tape saying that he tape.
Well, and then on the tape, he's like verbatimly admitting to it. He's like, and he dismissed it as if it was locker room talk. You know what I mean? So he's like, you just walk up to him and you just kiss him. Sometimes I cannot control myself. You know, this is his words. This is what he said. You know what I'm saying? And then when he said about the woman on the airplane, like, yeah, no, you think she will be my first type? But at the same time, like, How can you dismiss this, Donald Trump? Like, how can you dismiss this? Like, is there any way that he can get away with this? Or is he going to go ahead and get that Bill Cosby treatment?
I'm going to be honest. To us, he has not gotten away. But to him, I mean, he has. This came out before he was alive. And many pundits, many politicians, people in the Republican Party was calling for him to step down. Or that, you know what, this will be the end of his campaign. He will not get elected president of the United States with some type of allegation like this. Mm-hmm. And what happened? He's currently our 45th president of the United States. So I hate to say it, but he has gotten away with it. And I know it's still something that we talk about today because of all the women and now all the allegations that have come out against so many celebrity and figures of importance, but Donald Trump has gotten away with it. And America as a whole has allowed that to happen. And if you look at the Republican Party, that's currently what's going on in Alabama right now, is that you have somebody who has been, and not just allegations saying that these could be untrue sources, but these are verified sources and stories saying that Roy Moore in Alabama did perform these sexual allegations or sexual misconduct. And you have the president of the United States, the Republican National Committee, and others coming out to support him for that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, now is the Republican Party, do you not just care about what type of people you're putting in office or what type of standards you're setting? Because you have the highest person in the nation, the person who represents us on a global stage, who has been heard as talking about he just randomly grabs women. And yet, America, the country generalizing, we have elected this person our president because we thought so badly about Hillary Clinton. So I think he has gotten away with it.
I'm with you. Yo, Keith, as you're talking, it's like, yeah, because we felt so badly about Hillary Clinton, but it was really like two devils in one. You know what I mean? You just had to pick the less evil. And I'm not necessarily saying that Donald Trump is less evil, but I feel like that's just where people were. And I feel like, I don't know, like, I really wish that I could just sit down and talk to, you know, a group of white women who actually voted for Donald Trump, because they are the ones who put him in office. Honestly, truly, if we're going to, you know, speak about the actual factuals, they're the ones who put him in office. But at the same time, as you say, you know, he has the Republicans backing, you know, the guy in Alabama. But let's just think about it. Let's think about Fox News, right? Remember when Roger Ailes was going through everything he was going through with the sex allegations and everything that came up about him? Guess who was supporting him? Donald freaking Trump was supporting him, you know? So it's like a boys club, you know? I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I keep yours under the table, you throw mine under the rug. So it's really like, it's like, what can we as the people do other than keep talking about it? You know what I mean? Because, you know, me and you, we're going to keep talking about it. We're going to keep bringing it up. We're going to keep the people, you know, knowledgeable about what's going on. But at the same time, it's like, how can we actually expose them on a grand scale so that an effect can actually happen on, you know, their social status? Because that's not cool. You know, Donald Trump was elected as a president with, you know, a case on. He's actually, you know, going to court for, you know, a sexual allegation that happened with a child. You know what I mean? And this is something that came out while he was, you know, running during the campaign. So it's like, how do we make noise other than just talking about it? Is there, you think, like, you know, petitions, protesting? What do you think we can actually do as people?
I think for us, we got to get to the people who actually hold that voting difference. I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, voting doesn't matter, I don't care about it. Politicians, they're all.
Yo, Keith. Oh, man, he walking through the airport with his woes. Yo, Keith, we can't hear you, man. I want you to jump back on this call. But yes. Definitely, man. I think that it's something that's spreading like a cancer, honestly. Like these and it's not just white men, but it's white men at this point being exposed in so many different facets, you know, in the entertainment world, you know, in the political world, you know, in so many different ways.
No, I was just going to say, because one thing that struck me when you said POC is that the majority of women voted for Donald Trump. And so, what is it going to take for Trump to have his day in court or to be impeached? Like, I feel like he's immune to these allegations. It's accusations that of sexual misconduct against a long list of powerful men in Hollywood and also other industries that leads to resigning and getting fired and just so many other things, such as, like, Harvey Weinstein, he lost his job. Billy Bush lost his job. Kevin Spacey lost his job. But yet Trump is still president. So what is it going to take in order for people to wake up and understand this is not acceptable? Like, this is not acceptable
at all, Keith. What were you saying, though? Go ahead and make your statement.
I was saying I think it takes for us to get to the people who really hold the difference and who really hold the vote. I mean, I know people say that voting doesn't matter and they don't care about that. But if you look in the case of Atlanta purely by itself, Keisha Bottoms won by 700 votes. And I think what people fail to realize is that the people who hold the power to essentially get Trump out of office is controlled by Republicans. Republicans right now are only catering to the people who voted for Donald Trump because that's the people who voted. That's the people who they see. So if you don't vote, nobody, they don't care about you because you aren't impacting numbers. But when you start impacting numbers and you start impacting or influencing elections, then they got to take you into account. And I think that's for us is that we got to get to the people who hold those votes. We got to get to the people who have the money. I mean, I wish we had $1 billion right now. We could go out and put 20 ads on TV. But to be honest, if you watch TV or if you talk to anybody, if you listen to the radio, nobody's really talking about Donald Trump and his sexual allegations anymore. Facts. People are talking about Al Franken stepping down, Representative Conyers stepping down, a lot of Democrats stepping down, Roy Moore, who may get elected to the Senate next week, possibly. But nobody's really calling into question Donald Trump's sexual misconduct and allegations and what he's doing in office. Nobody really is. So you got to get to the people who have that power and have that influence.
It's going to be like a domino effect, my guy. Like, I truly see, like, you know, if one person goes down, they going to take everyone down with them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be crazy. Oh, and we're really, truly going to see how dirty, grimy, crookish our politicians actually are, man. Like, they're out here using the power to just honestly influence the power.
It's going to be bad. And you know what's going to be even worse? Is that all the politicians today, all the people who have come out in support of Donald Trump for everything he has done, all the people who have come out against our intelligence system, all the people who have said negative things about the FBI, about the Department of Justice, about citizens in Puerto Rico, about African Americans, about NFL players, about Latinos, Hispanics, they're going to be held accountable for their actions. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next year. But what's going to be sad for them is that day when Rome falls, because Rome is going to fall. And I think what people forget is that people don't own the presidency. Donald Trump does not own the presidency. Barack Obama did not own the presidency. George Bush did not own the presidency. They only rented it for X amount of time. Donald Trump right now is currently renting the president, the White House, 1600, for 4 years at this moment, unless he gets reelected, and he rented it for 8 years. But there's going to come a time when Donald Trump is no longer the president. And all those people who have supported him, all those people who have defended him, all those people who have come out for him, they will then be held accountable, like you said, for everything that has happened. And when that day comes, I really pray for all those people. I really do, because it's going to be sad.
It's going to be real bad because they're going to be exposed on a whole different, you know, grand scheme of things. You know what I mean? Like, I really wish that I knew her name. You know, it's like two black women and they're like super Donald Trump fans. They're on Twitter all the time. The one has glasses. She's like a super advocate of Donald Trump. They're two black women. Do you know what I'm talking about? And they always talk about just riffraff. They're never talking about the issues. They always talk about riffraff. Would you happen to know who I'm talking about?
I've seen a little bit of it,
the inauguration and but all that.
Yeah, but that's how Donald Trump supporters are. There's never nothing about the issue at all.
Ever.
If you ever talk to a Donald Trump supporter, it's never about that. It's always about, well, the Clinton agenda. Hillary Clinton right now is chilling up in the woods of New York, relaxing with her feet up. But people keep talking about the Clinton agenda, what Hillary Clinton wants to do, or how this person supports Hillary Clinton. This has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton. This all has something to do with your man, Donald Trump, who has done nothing in office but reverse Obama policy. That's it.
Yes, man. And I ain't feeling Hillary either. As I'm learning a lot about what's going on in Libya, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm doing my research and even more and more. I'm really like, yo, they both are the devil. You know what I'm saying? They both truly, honestly are the devil. But I got the name. Shout out to Harmony. It's Diamond and Slick. You ever heard of them? Silk, I'm sorry, Diamond and Slick. I'm like, yo, you got to watch them. They have a whole YouTube channel just supporting this man. And I'm just looking at these two women like, yo, he don't know nothing about any kind of struggle y'all ever been through. whatever kind of check this man is cutting you, I really pray that, you know what I'm saying, you are saving it, because you going down. Just know you're going down.
But I was about to say, you know, a lot of people just like him because they feel he's not a traditional politician, that he's straight talking, that he says exactly what he feels. There's no sugarcoating. There's no political correctness with him. He defies the standard. That's what people see in him, and that's what people like. And people outside of Washington, they want an outsider. But when you get an outsider, you get these problems. You get somebody who has no more ethical code at all. And this is what you get.
I'm with you on that one, Keith, but the crazy part is I kind of am on the outskirts of that. Like, I do want an outsider, you know what I mean? I don't want your average politician. I don't want, you know, your pantsuit kind of politician. I'm not looking for that at all. I'm not looking for your businessman either, but at the same time, I am looking for someone who's just in the middle, someone who can, you know politics inside and out, and then also know business inside and out, but also someone who's about fairness for all communities, you know what I mean? Who's not pandering directly to one community based on the amount of check that they were, you know, that they received. So I'm looking for that politician, and I hope that person peeks up through the cracks in 2020, because they're definitely going to get my vote if they did. Definitely, definitely, definitely. And all them Jill Stein supporters, man, I don't got nothing to say right now. But yeah. But I do want to let you know this too, though, because after I'm looking at the, I want to jump into the next topic, but as I'm looking up the 19 women who have came out, guess who is one of the women who came out so far?
Who?
Ivanka Trump, Donald Trump's first wife. She's saying that, you know, they had a situation, and she quoted, just quoting her, was raped during their divorce proceedings in 1990. So they had an issue where she felt as though that, you know, their president, her ex-husband, Donald Trump, raped her during the during their divorce. So that's crazy. So I really would love to hear her story. She's one of the 19 women that came out on this list. So I really would love to hear her story. Definitely
crazy.
This is his ex-wife, you know what I mean? Like he you know, because you know he loves to be in power. So as she was probably walking out the door, he was probably on some whole nother tip, you know what I'm saying? So that is definitely, definitely a crazy one.
I
wonder what their daughter thinks, you know, as she reads this, because this is out, this is on public records, you know what I'm saying? So as she's reading that, I want to know what she's thinking, you know what I'm saying?
I want to know what they all think right now, because the stuff they are doing, I feel like they wake up in the morning and be like, what can we do to terrorize America today? What can we do to split America and the rest of the world? What can we do? I really feel like they do that. Be like, all right, this sounds good. Let's do this today. This sounds like a great idea.
But you know who did show us love this past week, though? And we don't get too much love coming out of this state, so I'm excited about this one. South Carolina, man. South Carolina put ex-cop 20 years in prison. They put him in prison. Michael Slater.
20 years.
20 years in prison, man. The cop who shot Walter Scott. So I'm really, really excited about this one. We finally got some justice, you know, this hands up, don't shoot movement that we've been going on, that has been going on for a very long time. We finally got some justice. Did you want to go ahead and touch on that for us a little bit?
So, as you said, Caucasian police officer pulled over an African-American gentleman because he had a broken taillight up. So instead of it being a routine traffic stop, this actually ended up in murder, with the Caucasian officer essentially shooting the African-American in the back 5 times as the African-American was running away. It was recorded on a video camera on the phone, which was then actually shown in court, and which sparked national outrage from everybody seeing this. Like, once again, why are all these African-Americans, unarmed black men, getting shot by Caucasian people? So this past week, the officer was actually sentenced to 20 years in prison for second degree murder and manslaughter. So as you said, I mean, it's definitely a huge win for hands up, don't shoot, Black Lives Matter. But I'm going to tell you the difference in why this actually got served as a murder charge instead of nothing else happening.
Because
you say what?
I was saying break it down. Definitely. I want to know.
So I was going to say, well, really, it's because if you look at all the other cases of Michael Brown, it was the officer claimed self-defense, and that there was really no footage or anything else to really show what happened. I mean, we have the officer's word. We have maybe some video footage and some audio, but nothing really to transcribe the whole event. And those officers claimed self-defense, that they was being attacked or that something was a struggle. In this video, we point blank period have an officer shooting an unarmed black man in the back as the African-American was running away. By no means am I saying he should have been running away, but they're saying that the deadly force that he used was not necessary with the prescribed threat at all. And he pleaded guilty to that. And that's where the difference lies, is that it was point blank period what it was, and that the officer pleaded guilty compared to the other officers who said this is self-defense, and that little gray area about what really transcribed between the events.
You know what was point blank period? The fact that he shot him at point blank range. You dig? Like,
right.
That is the actual factuals right there, Keith. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter.
Yeah, you can't argue that.
You know what I'm saying? It don't matter how you spin it. Michael Slager shot and killed Walter Scott on April 4th, 2015, man. So this is about 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, that he shot and killed him in South Carolina for absolutely no reason. Like you said, it was just a regular routine traffic stop. And for, like, you know how you said, Keith, like, he shouldn't have been running. Who's not going to run? You're scared to death. We don't know the words that this man was saying. We don't know what he was putting out there, the energy that he was putting out there in the air prior to, Walter Scott just starting to take off. No one is going to run unless you're scared. You know what I mean? You don't run from a dog unless you're scared. You don't run from a bully unless you're scared. You don't run from that ass whooping your mom about to get you unless you're scared. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time,
right,
he had to do something to make this man, want to run. And if you think about it, Walter Scott wasn't a small guy. He was a big guy, so if he really wanted to go toe for toe, with the officer, he could have did that. But obviously, he was scared for a reason, because the officer was putting out something that we didn't see prior to the camera start rolling. And that's typically what happens. We never know what happens before the camera start rolling, and that's how they always get away with that stupid excuse of I was defending myself. Like, what are you defending yourself from if you are the one with the badge, the gun, the mace, the spray, the stick, all of that? Like, how could you possibly be defending yourself? So at the end of the day, Walter Scott, he got justice, but at the same time, do you think his family's going to get justice? Because you know how Philando Castile, his girlfriend just got paid out a huge settlement. Do you think that the criminal justice system is like, okay, so we're going to actually put him in jail, so we're not going to cut you a check this time around? Does it work that way? Do you think it's going to work that way?
No, I don't think it works that way. I mean, at the end of the day, you always got to ask yourself, is justice ever really served? In any case, I'm not just talking about what happened with Philando Castile and the $500,000 settlement, or what happened with this case and the officer getting charged 20 years. It's like, well, is justice ever served? What does justice look like? Because there's so many different forms of it. There's so many different, all right, well, we screwed up this. Here, take this, hush up, don't say nothing. You okay for the rest of your life. Or you sentenced to life without parole. I mean, there's so many different varieties. And I mean, it's still sad because we now have not even an African-American brother, but a human, a brother in Christ, who is no longer on this earth because of actions from a fellow citizen that went above and beyond what was required or what was needed. And I don't think the justice system works as if, okay, we screwed this one up, let's kind of make this better, like a makeup call in football or something. I don't think it works like that. But I think it's just who you have and what they see is acceptable and what the family accepts or what the lawyers argue for. So, I mean, I think it's so many different varieties of it. There's no real way to have an actual judgment about it.
Man, I hope they get something out of the deal. I definitely hope they get, even though that's, our tax dollars, I still hope they get something out of the deal, because all the pain and suffering and agony that they had to go through. And just think about this, though, Keith, though. Like, Walter Scott was 50 years old when he was murdered. So just picture a 50-year-old running. You know what I'm saying? And black don't crack. Don't get me wrong, because there's definitely some 50-year-olds out here who can run laps around me. But I'm sure that 50-year-old man was not outrunning that police officer. And if you look at the video, the police officer didn't even try or didn't even tip to chase after him. He just stopped, put his 10 toes down, made himself solid in his stance, and popped off, Keith. Like, you know what I'm saying?
And that's what I was going to say. And that's where the disdain or the difference lies between what we have seen in the past versus this video, is that you didn't even make an attempt, bruh. Or you tried, but then you got to a point where you was like, you felt it was necessary to shoot this guy in the back. I mean,
it was, man, and I like you said, and you made me think in a bigger scale too, because I'm thinking like, yeah, we got some justice, we finally got one down, maybe going forward, God forbid if, you know, any other black man gets shot, but going forward, you know, we can look at the example of South Carolina and how they, you know, played this situation out. But definitely, as you just said, like, what is justice, you know what I mean? Because justice can be on all kinds of scales, you know, because at the same time, we got this one, but we definitely lost 10 others, you know, so it's definitely something we got to look into. And who's to say that, you know, cops in South Carolina are not looking for revenge at this point, because that was their homie, you know, that was their guy, that was their main apple scrapple. So now they like, yo, you took my man down, so now we gotta take some more people down that look like you. So I really hope they don't think like that.
I'm about to say, I just wanted to say, I don't think that's the way they look at it. I think, because even after the shooting happened, they fired the officer like 2 days later, and I'm sure he has friends, but I don't think they're looking at it as like, oh, we gotta go get more black people since they got us. I don't think that's the way they're looking at it. I don't think that is. I mean, I'm sure there's probably 90% of the office or 99% thinks he was wrong, or thinks she should have got whatever. I mean, there's no way to determine what somebody deserves because it's all ambiguous to who sits on the jury. But I don't think they're plotting or formulating a plot to kill more African Americans. I don't think that's the case.
I hope so, man. I'm not putting that out there ever. I'm not putting that out there in the universe, but I definitely hope so that it's not going down like that, because getting fired and going to jail are two different things, and we talking about 20-plus years. You hear me? Like, this man ain't about to see his kids again. So I really hope, you know what I'm saying? Like, I really, really hope that the, you know, the Scott family, you know, put something out into the universe when it comes to, you know, helping the youth, helping other people in the community that is facing the same adversity that they're facing. So definitely I wanted to talk about that with you, Keith. I appreciate you always coming on the Revive show and supporting us here with TLS Politics on the What's Buzzing segment. Go ahead and shout yourself out, how do people can find you, how they can stay in tune with everything TLS has to offer, and that new logo, you know, shout out to that new logo. Y'all going up in the world. I see y'all.
Hey, we just trying to, you know, we trying to keep up with Revive. I mean, if y'all set the bar high, we have to follow. We can't be slacking. But first off, I would just want to thank you all for having me on the show for so long and doing this every second and fourth Sunday. It's truly been a blast. It's truly been a fun time. Thank everybody for listening. And if you definitely want to follow us, or you can catch us on Facebook and Instagram at TLS Politics. You can catch us on Twitter at TLS Politics _. You can shoot us an email at theleftside@gmail.com, thelefside@gmail.com. Definitely check us out, Facebook, Instagram, TLS Politics, Twitter, TLS Politics _, and shoot us an email, man. So thank you, Revive. Thank you, POC. Thank you, Harmony. You know, you all have been truly a pleasure.
No doubt, no doubt, man. Keep having a good one. Safe travels to you.
Always. You all take care.
No doubt. Man, I'm a little jealous. Keith on his way back to the sun. He leaving the sun on the way back to the sun, man. We over here freezing. I got on Nike boots, hoodies, and jackets, and all that, man. It's cold out here, man. Definitely shout out to Keith with the Left Side of Politics. I appreciate them coming on the Revive show and just supporting all the way around, man. They support, even when they're not on the show, they still support it. So I definitely, definitely want to just shout out the Left Side of Politics. Make sure you guys go support them. Subscribe to their channel. Definitely look out for all their videos that Keith does each and every day, just educating and re-educating the people, spitting those actual factuals, man. Definitely, that's my guy right there. Definitely, definitely, definitely. But before we wrap up today, we got to get that motivational piece out. We got to motivate you guys to just keep pushing throughout the week, man. You have to keep pushing. You have to know that greatness is a choice. You have to know that you have to live in peace, not pieces. Each and every day, you have to choose it for yourself. No one's going to go get it but you. You got to go get it for yourself. Are all y'all waiting for 2018? But it's still time left in 2017 to make that happen. Set yourself up for 2018. Don't wait till 2018. Go ahead and set yourself up. Align everything you need to align. Make sure you networking and making it your net worth. Make sure you are going to CBELifestyles.com and supporting us right now and going to cop that Revive gear. Shout out to your girl Tab Money right now. Man, make sure you guys follow Tab Money at Tab Money on all social medias. The O in money is a zero because she all about the most. But yes, go to CBELifestyles.com right now and support, support, support. You can go ahead and cop that Revive gear. We got that energy. We got that free up yourself. We got that run towards your fears. Remember, your thoughts are not your own. Your thoughts are not your own. Do not be the oppressor. Do not be the oppressor. Spread the word. Spread the message, man. You got to educate the people. Re-educate the people. If you show love to the people won't hate on you. Trust me, man. People won't hate on you. Your thoughts are not your own. But Harmony, what's that motivation you got for the people? Inspirational, motivational. You see him? I try to run it back.
You did a little rhyme. Poe didn't even know it. Peace and blessings to you all. This was a great show. Definitely another great episode of Revive. But I just wanted to let the people know that one of my favorite mentors, Les Brown, he says, no matter how bad it is or how bad it gets, remind yourself that I'm going to make it. If you woke up today with a heavy heart or something pulling at your spirit, there's a call waiting for your response. Pain can manifest in many ways, but it's really not meant to hurt you. Sometimes we don't want to make a decision because we are afraid of change and what it may bring. As humans, we are creatures of habit, and we trick ourselves into believing that what we know is safe. What we don't see is a world of possibilities on the other side. So I just want to remind you to keep on growing, keep on checking yourself, keep on motivating yourself. Mistakes are opportunities to grow. Look at them, own them, grow from them, and move on. Do better, be better, because you're human, and that is okay. And this is Harmony to God. It's coming to live on Revive. Live in peace, not pieces.
Hey, gotta do better. We just gotta do better. I'm definitely with you on that, man. We have to do better each and every day. We have to strive for greatness. And it's literally something that I always say is that you have to execute over excuses. You know what I mean? We live in this world of excuses. We live in this world of I don't have any resources. We live in this world that I don't have, I ain't got. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really out there. Or when, or what ifs. Facts right there. You know what I'm saying? So it's really, really, truly up to you. Like, you have to, one thing that I said yesterday to one of my closest friends is, like, you have to start to change your environment. You have to start looking into other, you know, other places to do other things. Like, you cannot keep, you know, the same environment expecting things to grow. You need to change, or you need to get into a new site so you can get closer to your vision. You know what I'm saying? You have to change your environment. You have to change the people you're around. One question that I was asked this week by my mentor, you know, shout out to Grindation, shout out to Kendall. He asked it today. I mean, well, the other day he asked us, like, who are you listening to? Who are you talking to? And that's one thing that is, like, truly resonating in my brain. It's like, who am I listening to? Like, I know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to y'all. I'm talking to the people. I'm talking to the listeners. I'm talking to, you know, everybody who's helping Revive to grow. I know who I'm talking to personally, but who am I listening to? Like, who am I taking advice from? Who am I allowing to pour into me? You know, who am I allowing to persuade my thoughts? You know, who am I allowing to sway my thoughts? Who am I allowing to actually get into my head and get into me to be like, yo, maybe that is right. Maybe that is them. You know what I'm saying? So at the same time, it's something that really, really, really is holding really dear and near to me, because that's something that I need to know. Like, I cannot just be listening to everybody. Everybody has an opinion. You know, when people see you doing something, like, yo, you need to do it this way. You need to do it that way. You should be doing this. You need this guest on your show. You need that guest on your show. And then it doesn't necessarily align with my principles and my purpose. And I'm thinking, like, why did I just listen to them? Why didn't I follow my gut? Why didn't I go with my instinct? So you definitely have to remember and keep that in the back of your mind. Like, who are you actually listening to as you're moving? Because you got to remember, we all have 24. You know, we all have 365. We all have, you know, 7 days. We all have it. You know what I'm saying? We all have that AM to the PM. And, you know, if we're blessed to see it, don't get me wrong, you know, things do occur. But if you're blessed to see another one, you have that opportunity to max out. So it's like, who are you listening to as you're maxing out? Who's holding you accountable? One thing that I have, so I'm in the house yesterday. You know, I didn't move at all. I didn't go hold you. I was listening to podcasts all day. That's my thing. That's what I do, right? And I listen to ET's podcast, you know, Secrets to Success. Shout out to CJ. Shout out to ET, man. It's really, really just a dope podcast, right? And the one they said, this is the one for November 22nd. Please go and listen to this one. And they, 28th, I apologize. And they were talking about, accountability partner. They said, like, who is your accountability partner? Like, who is holding you accountable for everything? Not just the gym, not just what you're eating, not what you're drinking, you know, not in your business. Like, who is holding you accountable for every part of your life? And it doesn't necessarily have to be your spouse. It doesn't have to be, you know, the person you're laying with at the end of the day. It's all about who is holding you accountable. And those are the people that you need in your life. You know, if you know that you have somewhere to be at 8:30, but you still sit next to me at 8:29 and I didn't say anything to you, please get away from me. You know what I mean? Like, please be like, you know what? You're not my friend. You know, if you have a paper due in the next 20 minutes, but me and you still over here talking, and it's almost 11:59 and that paper got to be sent in, then I'm not your friend. You know what I'm saying? If I know you have a business call and we're still texting, and why, my question should be like, why are you not on the call? You know what I'm saying?
One thing I liked about when I listened to it also, because, you know, you did shoot that out in the group message. So shout out to you, POC. But one thing I did enjoy about it was, how can you be an accountable partner and not be nagging or be, you know, like annoying, where it's like, I'm telling you what to do, but you're taking the constructive criticism and taking that for yourself to learn from that and to grow from that. And then also what I took from that is that I just lost my train of thought. But the accountability is just very, very important in who are you listening to, and not necessary as a nagging and annoying, but understanding that this person has the best interest for you as well. I just lost my
train. But I'm with you on that one. But the thing about it is, though, like, I am nagging. I am annoying. I am too much. I am over the top annoying. You know what I mean? That is me. So I am going to be that friend that makes sure that you get up and you get out and you go do what you have to do. And if you see it as nagging, if you do see it as annoying, you're just like, oh, she's just being herself. Because that is me. You know what I'm saying? So, like, when people say the accountability partner is someone who annoys you and gets under your skin and things like that, they're only doing it because they truly want to see you strive in your greatness. They want to see you walk in your purpose. They want to see you be proactive and not reactive. You know what I'm saying? They want to see you take advantage of every opportunity that comes their way. They want to make sure that, you know, you're living in peace, and that peace is, as Harmony would say. They want to make sure that you're elevating higher at all times, as Trueheart would say. Like, it's so many different things that is going on in this world that you need someone to just literally be like, yo, I got you. Like our former, like our guest today, like how he talked about he's going into the community centers, he's going into the rec centers, he's going into the actual community and taking these kids out and teaching them how to communicate, you know, over chess, you know, chess chat. That's big. He's teaching them how to focus, how to concentrate, how to make strategic moves, and also how to communicate all at the same time. And they don't even understand that. They don't even know exactly what it is. They just see it as a program. But for real, that's going to be something that's going to take you into, you know, the next life to come, into your adulthood, honestly, because you're an adult longer than you're a child. And that's something that you have to understand, even as a child, really, because we want to always say, remember back in 2010? Remember back in 2009? You know, and remember when? No, I don't. I'm right here. I'm in this I moment. I'm in this present time right now. And that's one thing that I also have learned, you know, especially being part of Groundation, is that you have to be in the present. You have to live in the present moment. And I'm just dropping these gems on you guys right now because all of you are ready and geared up for 2018. But I just really want y'all to know that it's still time left. Today's only the 10th. Today's only the 10th. We have 21 days. 21 days, and I'm not talking about Christmas. Now, ain't nobody thinking about no damn Christmas. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? Because I went to the store to get, you know what I'm saying? I had to go get some things, and I went to the store, I think it was like Thursday or Friday, and people was really Christmas shopping. Like, I was overhearing them talking about, yo, I think she gonna like this for Christmas. What? Who is still shopping for Christmas? It is blowing me. I would never understand why people still, my kids gonna be so upset. They not even gonna know what Santa Claus is, a reindeer, none of that. Rudolph, who? He don't got a red nose, baby. It's okay. It's okay. Like, just know, like, it's just not going down. It's just not going down for me. Like, I refuse to teach them a bunch of lies.
No, I was just going to say that people been shopping for Christmas, like, in July. But what it is, like you said, POC, we do have 21 more days. And what are you going to do with these last 21 days? And what goals are you setting? What spiritual goals are you setting? What, you know, career goals are you setting? What goals are you setting for yourself and for your team and the people around you? And how are you going to take get that accountable partner? Who is that for you? Who is that?
That's another question I need to know, man. I know we're wrapping up the show right now, but I want to know right now, who is your accountability partner? I'm going to go ahead and put that on my social media right now, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at @Revive_POC. I want to know who is your accountability partner. Go ahead and comment right there. We're going to go ahead and put that post up for you guys right now. You already know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. We're going to be live on DG Radio tomorrow from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You can go ahead and click that link in my bio. Stay tuned for that flyer. It's coming up really quick. We have a special guest, man. I'm showing Philly love to the end of the year. Because Philly is definitely showing me love. Philly has adopted me in so many different ways. So we have an amazing guest coming on DG tomorrow. And then Wednesday with this Winning Wednesday, you already know your girl Tab Money is coming up on the Revive platform. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Make sure you guys subscribe to that Revive newsletter at Revive_POC. You can go directly to timeforanawakening.com/Revive. Click that button that says subscribe. Make sure you guys go do that. Make sure you guys follow us as well. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message, and let people know that we are reviving the airways. You know what time it is. And go to CBELifestyles.com and go cop that Revive gift right now. It's me, your girl, POC.